Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Oh, it's good. Good and fresh out there today, right? Yeah, I just came yesterday, flew in and to Baltimore. And yesterday, I believe it was 85 in Orlando and sunshiny. And I thought, well, it's going to be that same way here in Delaware. And to my surprise, it wasn't not that. And then this morning, as I looked out the window of the hotel, you could see the sun, you could see the blue sky, and I thought, wow, it's going to be great. When I walked outside, it felt like Vermont. Well, we served 27 years in Vermont, and man, I'll tell you, as a fellow from the South, North Carolina is our home state. God put us in Vermont. Took us a long time to understand, was God penalizing us or was he blessing us? It took a while to figure that out, but when we got it figured out that we were on the blessing side and not the penalty side, everything kind of evened out and it was great. We enjoyed our opportunity there to serve and also create a ministerial fellowship that has launched so many men and women out to the ministry. And we're grateful to God not only for the ministry here in America, but also around the world. And I understand through Dr. Rutland, you are connected to Thailand and other places, and I just bless you for that because it's a wonderful way to share your faith. And as you notice, most of the activity was building and replacing and all of that. And that goes along with preaching the word and ministering and all of that. It's not just all one thing, it's several different things. And I love that because people who were carpenters, you know, they kind of, you know, say, well, I'm not a preacher and I'm not a teacher, so I can't go. No, you're a carpenter. I can't hit a nail, you can. So we need you on the team. So it's always good to see the collective body of Christ get together, take the gift that you have and go serve, you know, go serve someone else. Around the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love your pastor. I love his wife, Jamie, and their family. And you are fortunate and blessed to have a man of God who brings the word. Does he bring the word on Sunday? He brings the word. Amen. We thank God for that. There are preachers at times that don't bring the word. They bring their opinions and not the word. But we bring the word, and we thank God for his doctoral ministry. That he has studied the word, he has applied himself, and he is the servant of the Lord. And yesterday he turned 50 years old. Now you probably didn't know that, but your pastor, they now have spent a decade here, right? Yeah, praise the Lord. How many more decades? We don't know. But we know this, he's getting older. And getting older and mature, for those of us, I'm 73, and my wife and I are 52 years, April 2nd, in marriage, and we're so grateful to God. We've got five grandkids and a bunch of great-grandkids now, and it's just amazing dynamic what happens in the core of the family when Christ is in the core of your family. Whether it's your generation or the generation behind you or the generation even further behind you, they're all coming along and they all need Christ. Amen? Because I think God wants to touch your life. I believe that we've prayed and fasted and sought the Lord for his word. I believe this message that has been developed over the last weeks with Dr. Justin and his efforts to bring this same God message to us. And it's important that we understand that God's unchanging. As much changing as we see in our country, as we see in the world, and yet God is still the same. He's faithful and he's true. One verse that I'll just whet your appetite on is in Malachi 3:6, which says, I, the Lord, do not change. Well, if he's not going to change, guess who will? We have to change in our heart, in our life. You know, Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that. And because of his unchanging, he's utterly trustworthy and faithful. That's our God. We may have a new year, but it's the same God. He is unchanging in his holiness, in his judgment, in his love, in his way of salvation. And may our devotion to an unchanging God never waver, but only get stronger each day as we walk with him. When he has what he has done for others, he will do for you. Nudge somebody. What he's done for me, he'll do for you. Amen? Praise God. In this series, I believe God is trying to equip this congregation for an outpouring of his Spirit and an impact in the harvest that's in this region. As we've been going up and down for the last day or two, yesterday, today, sensing and praying last night, my wife and I on the phone praying, and we always do that. We always pray the night before. We always pray the morning before. My wife and I, in this morning, we kept feeling a return of thought. She would pray, I would pray, we would pray, and we kept thinking about the harvest. And we believe that there's a harvest appointed under this church. Hickory Ridge, God has appointed you a harvest. And though you have two great services, I want you to know that there are a lot of people in the world who need God. And they need somebody to speak up on his behalf. They need somebody to live in such a way that your conviction in living the way you live for God will bring conviction over the neighborhood. When they hear you closing the car doors, knowing on a Sunday morning where you're going, they already know where you're going. They just need to go with you. Amen? Nudge. Is a these guys on the back here, they like that gift. I don't know if they'll survive for the whole service. But I believe that God has appointed the Senecies and their ministry as they've come to pour out their heart and their life. They could be in other places. They could be in other churches. They could be in other nations. But God has them here. And as God has them here, as God has all of us here, it's for a reason. It's for a purpose. And that purpose is powerful because it's life-changing. Changes your life, and what changes your life will change someone else's life. And what changes someone else's life will change a nation. Our nation needs to be changed. There are nations around the world who need God. And yet God is still the same. God is still the abundant, loving, transformational God who will bring a change in our heart, in our life. Can I hear an amen? The same God who said, let there be light, is the same God who looked at your dead soul and said, let there be life. Aren't you grateful that you have life from God, from Christ, in your heart and in your life? You know, as we study the subject of healing, and I don't know if some of you are just counting on us to feed you on the subject or you've done research yourself, but it's a very, very powerful subject, healing, and yet it is a very difficult situation to try to understand. It's almost mystical how you pray for people. Some get healed and some don't. You know, and then you try to answer all the questions as to why, you know, and then people get defensive. Well, I don't understand why God didn't heal me, but he healed my brother or sister in the Lord. And so there's a lot of things that go into the complication of healing, but you need to accept the word of God as the truth and the authority on healing. And if you need healing in your life and healing in your marriage and healing in your family and healing in your business and healing in your church and healing from the Lord Jesus Christ, just in general, you need a lot of healing. You need to study what the Word of the Lord says, pray what the Word of the Lord is, and release it in faith, because it's your faith tied to healing that will release the power of His Spirit. You know, the interesting thing about healing that I've observed is when someone gets healed, they take that healing and share it with someone else. And when they share it with someone else, that someone else likely gets healed as well. So I'm excited this morning, And thank you for allowing me to come for my first time in Delaware. I have gone past you on the highways, right? And I've waved at Delaware. We've gone past you on the highways and the interstates, but we've never come and hung out with you. What a joy it is. Several years ago, I was privileged and had an opportunity to be in Oklahoma. And I had written a letter to Dr. Oral Roberts, and I had talked to him about his healing ministry and what have you. And I asked if he had a few moments to lay hands upon me. And I anticipated that it would be, I'm so busy, you know, I can't do this. So I looked, but in the mailbox came back, and before I opened it, I said, Lord, let there be. And there was. And so there was his secretary said, don't be offended if he only spends just a moment to lay hands on you. I said, that's all I ask. And yet we got together, and God got in the midst of our time. We spent an hour together. And what a powerful, powerful time it was. And I was fascinated with the large earlobes that he has, and fascinated with just, you know, the bigness of his hands and whatever. And after we had visited and he shared his vision, I shared some, and he asked me questions. I asked him questions, and we scooted together knee to knee. I said, oh, Lord. Something just changed. And as we got knee to knee, he said, you know, put your hands in my hands. And he says, God has called me to bring healing to my generation. And I've been all over this world seeing miracles and signs and wonders everywhere I go. And I said, well, Dr. Roberts, what has been the most painful thing in the healing ministry? And he teared up and he quickly said, What has broken my heart the greatest has been those who have walked away and weren't healed. They were among miracles. They were among signs and wonders, and yet they went back unhealed. And he says, what do you say? What do you do? And yet you press in to truth. But then he was groaning in the spirit, and he says, I want you to pray. I said, me? You want me to pray? I said, what am I going to pray? I got my hands in the hands of Dr. Oral Roberts. What am I going to pray? Well, I prayed this wimpy little prayer. And he was groaning in the spirit. And then he started prophesying and laying hands on me. And he says, every time the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me for healing, my right hand in the palm begins to burn. And I start laying hands on people, and miracles and signs and wonders start happening. It's not a gimmick. It's just a manifestation of the healing power of Christ in his life, and it manifests in his hands as he prays for people. And I want you to know that today, God can impart an anointing for healing in your life. God can use you to bring healing to other people. Amen? Are you excited about that? You think about the people that you know in your life that need healing, that need to have an encounter with God and a life change, and you could be the very answer. You could be the very one that brings that change to their heart and their life. Amen? Since I knew that Dr. Oral Roberts was a good friend of Dr. Youngi Cho, when I was in Seoul, Korea, I wrote a letter to Dr. Cho. And my first line was, I know you are a good friend of Dr. Oral Roberts. Could you have a moment to lay hands on me? I knew his answer was going to be, no, I don't, because I don't know you, but I know Dr. Roberts. Well, I opened the envelope, and he said, sure. I said, are you kidding me? So we called his secretary, set it up, and she said it would be 10 o'clock on Monday, which is the end of our stay. And my heart dropped because I said, we will be on an airplane leaving Seoul, Korea at 10 on Monday morning. She said, I'm so sorry. That was it. 2 weeks later, his secretary calls and said, Dr. Cho was in France, and the Lord spoke to him to get that letter out and to send me a note saying that we have 7 services on Sunday. Which one would you want to meet after? I said, the 3rd service, please. So when Dr. Cho finished his 3rd service, he's talking about services on Sunday, 7 services, 23,000 in the main sanctuary, and in the uprising next door that they met, that they have, there was 1,000 each floor, and of course they were right at 1 million members when I was there. And so I met in the office with Dr. Cho, and he mentioned, and we talked a little bit about Dr. Roberts, but the issue was that God had opened his heart to impart prayer. So with Dr. O. Roberts, it was healing, and Dr. Cho, it was prayer, and God put them together, healing and prayer, right? So here's what I want to do, and I've taken the time out of my sermon, and I'm sorry for doing that, but I believe in the impartation of healing. And I believe for prayer that as you pray, God works and labors with you to bring healing to the hearts and lives of men and women and young people and children. There are children today that are fractured. There are people walking through all kind of destructive things in their life, and they have no answer. And I want to impart to you an anointing for healing and for prayer. Will you receive it? Will you accept the opportunity for the Lord to work through you to pray for those that need healing and release you to the place where you can bring healing to their life? If you'll receive it, will you just sit there and raise your hands? Raise your hands if you'll receive it. Father, in the name of Jesus, as so you did unto me, do it unto these wonderful people here at Hickory Ridge. Lord, I thank you that you have sent me here to Delaware, Lord, not only just for our reunion with the Senecies and with our time together, but, Father, the impartation of your anointing, the greatness of the Holy Spirit working through the body of Christ. Lord, in this region, there are broken-hearted people, broken and downcast people, and we pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit of healing to come upon this church as they begin to exercise the gift of healing that is spoken in 1 Corinthians 12, the gift to the body of Christ of healing. Let that healing anointing flow. And Lord, let people's testimony begin to happen all throughout this region that you, God, have been working through your people and healing all kinds of matter in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for a great anointing of prayer over this congregation. Lord, that they will dig into the intercessory tracts of this region and begin to cause the enemy, the Satan, and all the demonic forces to be displaced from here so that God can do a great work with the harvest. Lord, we pray for moms and dads and for children. We pray, Lord, that you would give, Lord, a great awakening in this region, a great awakening of your spirit through the power of prayer and healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone, Lord, whose hand is raised, may they receive it, and may the angels take names in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 1, verse 11, this is what we were doing right here. This is Paul to the church at Rome. And in verse 11, this is what I did just a moment ago, and it's what he did throughout the known world at that time. Romans chapter 1, verse 11, for I long to see you in order that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. And that is that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. And now I want you to be unaware. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, but I often plan to come to see you that I might have some fruit among you just as among other Gentiles. And he says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians. Verse 15, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those 3 points are powerful, and I believe that God is going to move so powerfully in your midst and you're going to not be ashamed of how God intervenes and how God works in the hearts and lives of people. But I can assure you in my heart, in my faith, as well as you by faith, we take this gift of healing, we take this anointing of prayer, we ask the Holy Spirit to mix it among the body of Christ that we together might, wherever we go, might be able to minister to certain people. We had a dinner last night with some of the leaders, and it was celebrating your pastor's 50th birthday. Did you know yesterday was his birthday? Yes, his 50th birthday. Wow. Wow, a half a century now. Wow. Yeah. 50. Wow. It's incredible. After we had had a marvelous time of sharing our time together and a food, and it was marvelous and all of that, as we got ready to leave, there was this older little couple sitting in a booth, and they were getting ready to come out as well, and the God began to just speak to my heart about this little lady. And I could see physically that she wasn't breathing well, but spiritually, I felt like there was a need to pray for God to break something and release something in her that she could breathe better, right? And so as they got up, and Pastor was there, and we talked to him, first time we ever met them. I don't know them. They don't know me. I told them who I was, who your pastor was, and I said, ma'am, I said, would it be okay if I prayed? Because I sense there's a hindrance in prayer. Oh, did she receive the prayer? She was so thankful. Her cheek was on my cheek. I love that woman. She's like my grandmother. And so I prayed right there for God to heal her heart and to break through, because she was having difficulty just breathing. And her husband began to tell some stories about what she's been through and all these kinds of things. But here's the point. Here's the point. I saw someone who had a need. And through a quick prayer and sense of the Holy Spirit, the exercising of the gift, the spiritual gift of healing, I began to release that to her life. I don't know what the result is today. It's not my business to keep up with the results, but I'll tell you this. I felt so good to be able just to pray for her, to let the love of God pour out on her. She's lived all her life. I don't know how many times she's been prayed over or cared for, or someone loved her enough to stop for a moment and say, could I pray for you? You see, church, this is where the act and the generation of income, the incoming release of the Holy Spirit, who comes to equip us and release us into the gifts of healing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. In Galatians, 9 fruit of the Spirit. A marriage between the gifts and the fruit. Amen? And so we want the fruit and we want the gift, but the demonstration of prayer and healing go together. And God wants to release you as the body of Christ to have eyes to see, a heart to believe, and a desire and a willingness to lay hands upon people to see God set the captives free. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has some people that he wants to be set free in this region. And you are the candidate that he's chosen. Say, well, yeah, I don't know too much about that. Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to go home, and my wife and I and our team, we're going to be praying for Hickory Ridge. And we're going to be praying for the harvest of souls, not only that are in our area, but are in your area. And we ask you to pray for us in Orlando and around the world. Our world is upside down, and God is wanting his people to be right side up so that we in the righteousness of Christ can demonstrate to the people who are fallen in this world that there is a better way through Christ. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. Could you turn with me to Psalms 103? Psalms 103. I'm going to realize after we're service that I talk so much. I'm sorry about that. Praise the Lord. Psalm 103, verses 1 in beginning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Not a great verse. Sometimes I just love it. It gets in my head and I can't get it out. And I just go around the whole day saying that, singing that. And bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives us all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, and redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness, tender mercies, and satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And I'm going to write in my Bible today that Dr. Justin Sennessy, 50. Hallelujah. Why do we come every week to church repetitively, and doesn't it get a little bit ridiculous that the pastor and elders and leaders and God himself expects us to come to church on a regular basis, like every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? Why do we do that? Well, we do that because it is the time of the collection of the saints written in the book of Acts, and in the time of the birth of the new church, where they came together for encouragement, for healing, for strength, and all of that. It's the time for the body of Christ to gather. So that's why we do it. But yet, at the same time, we understand that the reason that we come is for majorly two reasons. One is revelation. We need the revelation of the Holy Spirit on the Word of God through the anointed servant of God that gives us the insight to be able to fight the battle, win the victory, and have our family be successful in everything we do, because we are church members. We are a part of the body of Christ, and we need revelation. Revelation is insight beyond the natural sight and your sight. It is the revelation and the sight of God by his Spirit through his Word, confirmed by the anointing to the revelation and revealing of God's truth. Amen? So we come for a revelation, but we also come for an encounter. An encounter with God means that you don't come and sit here for a while and just shake some hands and you go home untouched, unchallenged. Hello? I wanted you to think about that for a moment. That you don't come and you just visit with one another and you don't get stirred up. You see, this is the house of stirring. This is a place where God is doing something in your lives, in your families, your marriages. He's doing something in your community. He's doing something up and down your street, your business, whatever it is. God is doing something powerful, and you are engaged with it through an encounter. The encounter was when you gave your life to Christ, and you surrendered and repented of your sins, became a believer in Christ. You were filled with the Spirit, filled with the Word. You gave yourself to Christ for eternity, and you've come to church on a regular basis. And your neighbors know where you go at the right time of the morning. They hear the car doors close. They know where you're going. And I'm not ashamed of it. The Bible says in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? But I'm telling you that the families, the young people, all these young people, and all of the elderly as well, we have an assignment, and it's through the revelation and the encounter that we understand what God wants us to do. I don't want you to come, and I know Pastor doesn't either. I want you to come and just sit in the service, shake a few hands, hug a few necks, bless you, see you next Sunday, and you're out the door. You didn't get a revelation, and you weren't encountered. So we're going to change that, right? Praise the Lord. The walls are salvation, gates are praise. We're going to change that this morning because I'm imparting. I didn't have this until we got into the second song, And the music ministry messed me up. Messed me up with my notes and all this kind of stuff. I'm sorry. So here's what I come to bring to you as a simple servant of God. That you can come and spend the rest of your life visiting and sitting in the chair and going home untouched. And going home and saying, you know, it was good feeling to be in church today. Okay. But the question really is, what revelation did you get? What was imparted into your life? What encounter happened in the worship and in the preaching of the word? What encountered when we prayed together? What encounter happened that I brought home with me that I've got to investigate and you spend a little bit extra time in the word? I'm saying to you today that you're on God's agenda. You're on God's agenda and you are a target for the greatness of God, also for the enemy of satanic moves. And so you're going to have a great anointing of the Lord upon your life to be able to minister to one another and those that are out in this world who have no idea what you already know. Amen. In Luke chapter 4, in verse 18, Jesus picked up the scroll and he read about himself. And this is what we need to do. We need to pick up the Bible and read about ourselves in the scripture where the scripture is speaking to you and to me. So Jesus said in Luke 4 and verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recover sight to the blind, set at liberty those that are oppressed, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, gave the book back, sat down, and said, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So here Jesus was imparting to them the Spirit anointing with the word of God, but notice the preaching of the word was the gospel, the good news, that you don't have to live your life in defeat, you can live your life in victory. The gospel is good news that sets us free. And we believe it, we need it, we want it, and that's what we give to the world. We were changed by the good news. And you know what? The good news is only good news if it gets there in time. But if the good news doesn't get there at time, it's not good news. They never heard it. They never got it. And we saw their pictures. You know, a good thing for a church to get stirred up is always read the obituaries. As a pastor for many, many years, I made that assignment for me and my community, reading the obituaries of people who died in my community. And there's no indication in the write-up that their service would be in a church or that they went to church or their family went to church. It was a non-believer who left this world, and it doesn't indicate that they had a chance to receive the good news. You're saying, are you putting us under some kind of a commitment or something? Yeah. Pray for people. Pray for the anointing of healing in people's lives. I'm telling you, people are dying, and they need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Come on now, stay with me. I know you've lost an hour of sleep, but we got it. We got this. To proclaim the liberty. Notice he says, and to heal the brokenhearted. This is where all of us come together to minister to those whose hearts are broken. They have no cheerful display about them. The joy of the Lord is gone. They're crushed in their spirit that dries up the bones, and they need an encounter with God. And so where do they go? They go to Hickory Ridge Community Church, right? And they see that the pastor's already 50 years old. And so they understand that they're in a church that believes the gospel. And they believe in prayer, and they believe in healing. And we've got the powerful impartation of this revelation of prayer and healing together here in Hickory Ridge Community Church that will touch this entire region to bring the harvest into the kingdom. Can I hear an amen? Amen. People are crushed. People don't know what to do. But there's a church in town that does know what to do. They will love you. They will fellowship with you. They will share their food with you. They will share their hearts with you. They will share and open their heart and welcome you in. Is that you? Is that you? Yes or no? Yes, that's you. So in that release of the healing of the brokenhearted, so many people need this type and ministry in their heart and in their life. Jesus heals loneliness. I don't know if you've ever talked to an individual for a long period of time, but if you sit with someone who's day after day and their life seems to be set apart and they're lonely, and if you open up that well of discussion, they seem to be talking forever because they're so lonely. You see, sometimes people hide themselves away, or they stay out of light because there's issues going on in their life and they're lonely. God heals loneliness. He heals sickness of sin. You see, your sin, if it's not repented of, then it becomes a source of irritation and it becomes a source of sickness. You see, we repent of our sins because the Bible tells us that we need to ask God to forgive us of our sins. And sometimes if we don't repent of those sins become an infectious thing in our life. And sickness sometimes comes because of our lack of repentance. Healing of physical ailments. Sometimes we get these things, and we saw a great deal of it during the COVID when we went through those times and those months where we all had to wear the mask and we had to all worry about him, do I have it, you know, and all of that. But, you know, the Lord heals our physical bodies, and we're grateful for that. Our emotional wounds, he heals us, and he also heals hopelessness. I don't know where you are this morning, all of you, but I can tell you this. There may be in this crowd at least one person that's dealing with the issue of hopelessness. I don't know what feeds that or what is encouraging hopelessness in you, but there may be something this morning you need to come and just say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I've kind of lost my hope. Hope is the confident expectation of future success. And if you don't have lost your ability to hope for success, then maybe you need to be healed this morning by a God who loves you and wants you to be successful and is encouraging you to come to him for revelation and for an encounter. If you could just see the revelation of God's heart towards you and his love towards you, it would release a brand new hope in your life. Healing the brokenhearted is where we begin to understand that God says a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. If you're wondering today how come you don't have the joy or you don't have the sense of a healed heart, it's more no cheerful heart. If it's all drudgery and difficult and hard, let me tell you, the Spirit of the Lord is here even this morning to set you free and to minister to you and to touch your life and to heal your broken heart. We don't even know, God does, but we don't even know everything that may have contributed to a broken heart in your life. But if you have a broken heart, I know who can heal it. I know who loves you, and I know who will do everything they can to give you revelation of God's desire to heal your broken heart and to set you free. Amen? And if he did it for somebody else, he'll do it for you. Amen? Praise God. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast in the liberty which Christ has set you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You see, there's a freedom in this congregation and in this ministry, not only that brings you to the healing of heart, but the freeing of a person's life to live in victory. Stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. As a pastor, as a believer, as a member of the body of Christ, too many people come in, get set free, and they go back and repeat the sin and the situation, and they don't know and haven't been trained or heard that they're not to be involved in the yoke of bondage again. So this challenges us as a church to minister to people and help people stay free. Stay free. You get set free from alcoholism or from things like that in your life, or it's been in your family for generations and this is the first believer that's popped up, but yet the hold on him generationally is alcohol, and it's likely that he's going to be because they all were. Listen, that's the blood of Jesus. That's why Jesus shed his blood. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, the anointing of God, is to break bondages off of people's lives. Not only heal their heart, but break the bondage off their life so that once they're free, they can stay free. Hallelujah. And that's what we want. Amen. That's what God wants. He wants you to be free and live in freedom. So he wants to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to free us that we could live in such a free, in a victory way, victorious way. And then thirdly, strong in spirit. Jesus grew and waxed strong in the spirit. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40 shares that there was a time where the grace of God was upon Christ Jesus' life, and he as a young man grew and demonstrated the waxing in the spirit and the wisdom of the Lord, and he was strong in the spirit of God. I'd like to encourage you this morning to understand that the Holy Spirit is within you as a believer, and the Holy Spirit wants to strengthen your life in the Word, in the Spirit, in the anointing, and the gifts. A lot of gifts of the Spirit are in this congregation. Prophecy, I mean, you have to study the gifts. You study the gifts, and you realize, oh, certain people have gifts. Encourage that. Don't discourage it. Encourage it. And so we understand that God wants us to be healed in heart, free to live, strong in the Spirit, because we're formed for service. We're born in the Spirit, we're Spirit-filled, and we're Spirit-led. Amen? In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus shares, this is one of my favorite verses. Of course, they all kind of are favorite, but this is my most favorite verse. Matthew 9, verse 35, Jesus went into the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep with no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." This series has something to do with the harvest. This series has something to do to open our hearts to the reality of an unchanging God and a God who is the same. But notice from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God is delivering and setting people free, filling them, changing them, anointing them, giving them revelation and encounter so that they can prepare themselves for the coming of Christ or for your coming to heaven in eternity. Either way, God wants us to be his people, enlightened and filled with his Spirit and filled with his anointed, and committed to the harvest. So what I'm asking you today is let's commit our heart to the harvest. Let's commit our heart. See, if you aren't committed in heart, then it really doesn't mean anything to you. You'll maybe put some money towards it, or you will, you know, pray a prayer, whatever, but your heart and your life needs to be committed to the harvest, that it's always on your mind. When you go to the gas pump to pump gas and there's somebody else pumping the gas, one of the things you're thinking about is, I'm wondering if that person is going to heaven. So before I untank myself, I'm going to walk over, introduce myself, and say, "Do you go to church? Are you a Christian? Would you like to receive Christ? I mean, really? Yeah. That's how it works. You bump into people in this world, you have already enough of God in you to turn this region upside down. Let me tell you a story of a fellow by the name of Lyle Willie. He and his wife came to visit me one day. And I didn't know them, but they lived in Enosburg, Vermont, and they came to our church. And I had seen his brother, but I didn't ever know Lyle Willie. But he came to my office one day, and I could tell that their faces were flushed. I could tell that they had been through some difficulty. I welcomed them into my office. They sat there, and they began to tell me what their struggle was. And he says, we've just come from the doctor's office, and he has confirmed that I have bone cancer. And he said to me, quit my job, get a bucket list, and do everything you want to do, and love your family, because you have a very, very short time. And he says, we don't know what to do, so we've come to you. And I said, I don't know what to do. So I said, why don't we pray? So we prayed. Now, he had desired in his heart and in his life to finish his degree at Conwell University. Sorry, Gordon Conwell. He wanted to get his degree so he could teach teenagers in high school, and he wanted to get his credential to be a pastor. Those were the two things that were in his life that he was striving for. But now he's up against cancer and the report that he's going to die. He has 3 months left. What am I going to do? So we pray. And then the word of the Lord comes to my heart, and I said, brother, I said, what God is telling me is that if he's called you to finish your education so that you can touch teenagers' lives, and that you want to be a pastor, I encourage you to do that. Do all of that. Don't quit. And if the Lord takes you, at least he takes you doing what he's called you to do. Does that make sense? They thought it made sense. And he says, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to do it. And so they began to go down that road where they finished finally his degree. And he came to MMFI. We credentialed him to be a pastor, and prayed that God would open up a door for him to be a pastor of some church. And so it wasn't long that he had left all of his hair, lost all of his hair, and he took a toboggan off, and when we anointed him and laid hands on him, and I remember prophetically speaking over his life, go in Jesus' name and do what he's called you to do. To a man who's dying of cancer. That's kind of bold, isn't it? But here's the word of the Lord. As he began to do what God called him to do, he got a job up in Enosburg, Vermont, at one of the high schools, and he started winning teenagers to Christ, just like he had the vision. And then one day he was coming home, and he passed by the First Baptist Church in Enosburg. Three people were talking outside of the church. One he knew. He stopped and said, hey, how you doing? Talk to them. And he says, well, we're here, and we're discussing how we're going to close the church. And he said, well, why would you want to close the church? Because our congregation is old, and there's not that very many, and we can't pay a pastor, and we can't pay the bill for this, that, and the other, and so we're going to shut it down. And the Spirit of God spoke to him, and he says, this may be my opportunity. Would you mind if I took a shot at it? He says, no, we can't give you any money. I'm not asking for money. I'm just asking for a shot. Would you give me an opportunity to come and preach on Sunday and invite people to come? We don't see much use in it, but if you want to. But you see, he had a revelation, and he had had an encounter. Come on. And so that next Sunday, there was about a quarter filled. The next Sunday, it was about half full. And then within a month, it was overflowing. Here's the deal. God sent a man that was dying to a dying church and a dying community. And because he had faith in God to bring healing, amen, he became the pastor of a dying church as a dying man, but the revelation of Jesus and the Father healing cancer, that church began to open completely, so full, so wide. Eventually, they bought the lot next to the church for expanded parking. Then they bought the house right across the street for the parish, for the pastor. And then three or four years later, Pastor Tim Stetton and his wife Kathy, they were birthed to plant another church out of that dead church. Did you hear what I said? They came out of that dying church and seeing the revelation activate into the life of the pastor who was dying, and God brought life in it all. God is the healer, and he will deliver and set us free, and everybody needs to say amen on that. You see, God knows where you are and what you need. And you came today, maybe not hungering for healing or an encounter with God, but since you're already here, you might as well just have an encounter with God and go home changed. Maybe some of you are here and you've really never made a commitment to Christ. You're a believer, but you've just been following the crowd, but you've not been following Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to each and every heart and every life. And I ask you, Lord, to release the Holy Spirit to convict every heart and every life and to receive the blessing of God. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. While everybody's head is bowed and we're praying with our eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you realize, I need God in my life. I come to church, I appreciate that and all that. I just don't have God in my life. I know that. I want to pray for you this morning that God will break open in your heart and your life. You'll find and recover a revelation that changes your life today. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Let me just pray for you. If you're here and you need him in your life, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? 3, 4. God bless you. I need him in my life. I need him in my life. Let's all pray this prayer together with our friends that are sitting here with their hand raised, saying, I need God in my life. Let's pray with them, can we? Let's pray out loud. Heavenly Father, I come before you now. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of my sin. I need you in my life. So many areas of my life I've just left open. But today I close them as I submit myself to Christ. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Come and live within my life. And lead me in the right direction. I want to go home in the end to be with God. And I give my heart and life to Christ today. I want you in my life. I receive you. I believe that you're the Son of God and my Lord and Savior. And today, my life changes. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we clap for those who just prayed? There were 5 people that raised their hands, the number of grace. Thank God. I want to give you 3 points, and then I'm going to pray for you out there, and then we're going to release those here and release you. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. There was a large crowd of people. A beggar named Bartimaeus, who was sitting by the road. And when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming, he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." And many sternly telling him, "Be quiet." But he kept on crying all the more, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man and said, "Take courage, stand up. He's calling for you." Throwing away his cloak, which was his identity that he wore as a blind man, it identified him in the community as a blind man. But he threw that off. He took that off. That's a part of his faith in his healing. And so he says, "Take courage, stand up. He's calling you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And the blind man said, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the road. Verse 46 says, he was sitting on the road each and every day of his life, blind. No hope, no future, blind. Jesus came and he started crying out for mercy. Three things I want you to take home with you. Number one, he cried out for the right thing, which was mercy. Anytime you cry out for mercy, God understands mercy. You do a Bible study of mercy, it'll change your life. But this blind man was crying out, not being able to see anything, but crying out for mercy. He cried out for the right thing. Secondly, he cried out for the right person, which was Christ. Christ on the cross suffered and died that we might be healed and delivered. When he was crying out for mercy, he cried for the right thing. He cried for the right person. And then he cried out at the right time. Because scripture teaches us that Jesus went from here, Jericho, on to Jerusalem and never came back to Jericho. So that was his last chance to see Jesus bring healing to his life. Three things I want you to take home with you. Cry out for the right thing. Cry out to the right person. And cry out at the right time. Maybe this is your time to be healed. Maybe this is your time to be encountered by the Holy Spirit. And the revelation now is clearing up. You're seeing something that you need God to heal in your life. Whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's brokenness, whether it's wounds or hurts from the past, or right now today you've got such pain racked in your body that it's hard for you to move or bend. Or maybe you're on Social Security, or maybe you are on disability because you can't move around well, or your hips or whatever it is, and you need God's touch and God's healing. There's a number of you here today that God needs to touch your life. And I've come to town to announce that Jesus is the mercy giver. And we cry for mercy. Cry out for the mercy of God. We cry out to Jesus. And we cry out now in Jesus' name. If you'd like for me to pray a prayer over you, would you just stand? I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to pray over you. And then we'll release you. And then we'll let others come to have hands laid upon them here. And with the elders will come and we will pray and lay hands on you. But those of you that need healing in your life, in your body, in your spirit, doctor, come up here a second. Come here first. Look at this people. This is your series. This is what God is saying to you. You've come and you've invited me in, and I feel like family already. I'm going to come back again, whether I preach or not. I don't care. I'm coming back. But I sense with he and Jamie's heart and faith for healing and for this series to wind up next week or whenever. But I'm telling you, God's imparting something to his life, to your life, to this church, and it's not going to stop. This is a new beginning of his spirit. If you need his healing, you need his anointing and mercy on your life. I want you to raise your hands and we're going to pray for you right now. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those who have courage and faith and have a love for mercy. And I pray your divine anointing and your healing upon their life from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet and soul, body, soul, and spirit. Lord, I pray that in every area of their life, the healing anointing of Christ will be released. Let the burning and the fire of God be released into their heart and into their life. And may the fire of God stir their hearts for the healing of God. Lord, let your mercy come right now. Lord, today we pull on the mercy of God. And Lord, we need your mercy, and we pray today over Hickory Ridge Church right now, Lord, and we ask for the anointing of your spirit to touch this people in Jesus' name. Come on, keep those hands up. Some of you need to get your hands up. You're not yet doing it. Lord, we're just reaching out for that anointing right now in Jesus' name. We pray for the impartation and the revelation and the encounter. Encounter my life right now, Lord, and bring healing and deliverance and set me free, that I can be free in Jesus and minister to others who need healing. Father, in Jesus' name we pray that we receive it as a part of our testimony right now. Our testimony is going to be, no longer I can't do it. I can't make it happen, but I can do it because I'm healed. Lord, let the healing grace of God flow. Let the healing waters flow in this congregation, Lord, we pray. Each and every time they come, let the healing waters flow. Let the anointing of your spirit flow in Jesus' name. Anoint them, touch them, heal them right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's praise the Lord for his healing. Hallelujah.